is 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. Cincinnati Metro comes out on top when you look at how efficiently the system is run compared to similar-sized cities. That's just one of the findings from today's State of Metro report. The service also says it will not increase fares in the coming year. We're going to talk about Metro this afternoon. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Then we'll hear ways you can protect yourself from identity theft through your smartphone. We'll also talk with the producer of a special we're airing next week about the debate over what is taught in classrooms in Texas. First, joining me to talk about Metro are Cincinnati Metro CEO and General Manager Terry Garcia Cruz and Director of the Economic Center at the University of Cincinnati, Julie Heath. We'd like to hear from you, too. You can call us at 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Certainly glad to have you both here. I think a really good place to start, and Terry, I'd like to start with you, is just tell us a little bit about what this report was all about. How often are these kinds of studies done, and what kind of questions were you trying to have answered?
Well, in terms of the report, we thought it was really appropriate to look at Metro and see how we stack up against our peers, and those peers, cities being those that are often used with Agenda 360 through the chamber. We thought that because this is our first State of Metro address, really talking about what we have done in the past year, what the future looks like for Metro, in addition to this study, it was just a great tie-in to really correlate all those aspects together. And I know that Dr. Heath will go into the specifics, but we're especially proud of the efficiency rating and the fact that we are number one. And it was kind of great because when we got that information, it just reiterated that we're really trying to operate the system in a very cost-effective manner and really looking at efficiency and bringing that private sector mindset into the public sector.
Can you explain efficiency, Julie?
Yeah, efficiency is basically how well they're doing with the resources they have at their disposal. So it's a pretty basic measure overall. What we did for each one of the broad categories we looked at, operational efficiency being one, service area provided being the second one, and the third being state and local funding. We looked at several different dimensions that would go into each one of those. And there are a lot of different dimensions. And so we wanted to make sure that we focused on those particular dimensions that could be appropriately applied across these 12 cities, these 12 peer cities, but also appropriately applied across different modes of transportation. Because a lot of the cities that we looked at, bus transportation is not the only mode of transportation. So we wanted to make sure that the measures, the exact measures we used, could be applied in both of those different directions.
Now, I know people are wondering, what are some of the cities that you compared Cincinnati to?
Minneapolis, St. Louis, Denver, Indianapolis, Louisville, Austin, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Columbus, Charlotte, and Raleigh. And again, that set was defined for us by Agenda 360 and Vision 2015.
So you were taking all this information and trying to find all this out. You've talked a lot about the efficiency aspect of it, and you were number one amongst all of those cities. Is that correct? But in some other areas, you were comparing yourself only to cities that just had bus transportation as opposed to, say, a rapid transit like Cleveland has or something other than just bus transportation. Is that correct?
That's correct. We the first pass we did at the data was to look at how Cincinnati compared, again, along these three measures, operational efficiency, service level provided, state and local funds, with all 12 of the cities. And again, there were specific dimensions to each one of those three. But then, as you point out, that's a pretty heterogeneous group. I mean, some cities have light rail, some cities have BRT, bus rapid transit. So the next stage of the study was to focus on those cities that only have bus transportation to see how Cincinnati fared with those cities.
One of the numbers you came in, I believe it was seventh, and that was, now I don't have it right in front of me here, but one of the, you didn't fare as well as you thought you might in some other areas. And Terry, maybe you can talk a little bit about that and how you'd look towards improving or what your concerns maybe were with coming in seventh.
Oh, absolutely. Coming in seventh related to service capacity. In other words, what we're offering in terms of service options. As Julie mentioned, that there are other communities that are offering transportation options, i.e. light rail, commuter rail, bus rapid transit, streetcar, other options as well. So in terms of the future, we have gone and we've done tremendous amount of research, in terms of 50,000 touches last year. And we developed...
What's a touch? What does that mean?
Well, in other words, we did focus groups, public meetings, mm-hmm. surveys, household surveys, onboard surveys. So touching the community, 50,000 mm-hmm. touches
okay.
is how I kind of term that. And trying to determine what transportation options are most desirable in the community and building a transit system that really mirrors what the community wants. So we were able to do a short-term transit plan and a long-term transit plan. We're currently working on the short-range transit plan under the existing budget, which basically means we have more east-west corridors. We just have a precursor to bus rapid transit with Metro Plus.
Now, we've mentioned bus rapid transit several times here. Explain what that is.
Okay. A bus rapid transit is a dedicated right-of-way in which you can actually take a bus and have faster travel time to your ultimate destination, real-time information, better passenger amenities, shelters, etc. We have taken a baby step here in Cincinnati and basically have done a kind of mini version because we don't have the dedicated right-of-way. And so we are servicing the area of Kenwood, Montgomery area, to a new destination more directly, not going into the downtown. So we're going from Kenwood to Xavier area, Avondale, up to the uptown area, and then the banks within the downtown area. So that really opens up more travel opportunities, faster service.
Why is that faster? What are you doing that makes it faster?
Limited stops, mm-hmm. basically, because we don't have the dedicated right-of-way. We don't have, some communities will actually synchronize the traffic lights. We don't have that here. Ultimately, we'd like to move into that because that is one particular service that we see long-term of being able to offer BRT and other corridors, for example, Madison, Glenway, Vine, and Hamilton. And that's our go-forward vision, the long-term vision.
Well, Terry, when you were answering the question about the service capacity and Metro coming in at number seven, I did want to make sure that it was clear that when we do that bus-only analysis, Metro came in at number seven when we're looking at all 12 cities, all 12 peer cities. But when we, with these other modes of transportation, when we narrow the focus down to bus-only cities, Metro goes to the top of that list in terms of service area provision. So just to kind of piggyback on,
exactly.
on what you'd said before.
Right.
You talk about the trying to speed it up with fewer stops and those sorts of things. At one point, you also had some buses, I think, going out to Kings Island that were able to use the berm or the shoulder of the road. Is that still going on?
Yes.
Is that another method to do that? Is that going to work with bus rapid transit too or not? Is that strictly for those buses?
But strictly for the ones along the interstate that were able to use the shoulder and to kind of expedite that particular
route. So when you're going to the Kenwood area now, you're not on the highway for that. You're on surface streets.
Correct. Exactly.
We just got a tweet from Angie who wants to know when you'll be using the station under 2nd Street.
Oh, well, we're actually doing that already, particularly with the Metro Plus service. And we are actually using that as an area in which our operators can what we call layover. And we are also using it for special events, for example, charter buses to the different games, Reds, etc. So it is being utilized.
Do you anticipate using it more in the future?
It will have to, if we use it more for bus activity, we'll have to look at rerouting some of those routes. The challenge for us is the location of the transit center as it relates to the Central Business District And right now with Government Square, that is such a centralized area. That's where the major employment population is at this point. So logistically, we'd have to kind of work on that a little bit.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking about the State of Metro report that came out this morning. If you have a question or a comment, we'd like to hear from you. The number is 513-419-7100. You also can email us, talk at WVXU.org, or post your question or comment on Facebook or Twitter. We're talking a little bit about sort of the future. One of the things that came out of the report is that you have no plans for a fare increase or service reduction, and you'll still be able to balance the budget. How is that happening, and what have you done to make that possible?
Well, I can say that for the fourth year in a row, we've actually been able to balance the budget without a service reduction or fare increase, which that is huge. I speak to many of my colleagues, and they're taking 30% service reductions. And how we did that is we looked at how to run Metro in a more efficient fashion. What can we streamline? What can we do to increase our revenues? We actually have an individual who has been hired to do target marketing and try to attract new business, trying to look at marketing strategies that will actually help people understand how to use our system. We also have an executive director of development who is charged with bringing in new revenue for the system. If it's selling new contracts to Butler or Claremont, service that needs to be kind of reimbursed, that's another opportunity for increased revenue. So it's really trying to look at how we're going to really be more cost-effective and generate additional revenues.
Julie, how does this compare with other cities in terms of budgets and fare and all of that, and what some of those cities are doing?
Metro came out in that third bucket I talked about was state and local funding. So that's really a measure of how much public money are they using compared to fare revenue. And Metro came in number 10 on that whole list of 12, which means that it uses very, very little of state and local funding, very little public money. And again, when you constrict the sample to just be bus-only cities, they drop to the bottom. So all of the other cities that even only use bus service have a much higher degree of state and local funding than Metro does. Metro is much more reliant on fare revenue to conduct their operations. And the fact that they can do it so efficiently, I think, speaks volumes.
You talked a lot about the varying dimensions of the study that you've done. And, mm-hmm. and can you define a little bit what some of those were and what how deep you dug in some areas to find this information?
Yeah. In terms of operational efficiency, where Metro came in first of all 12 cities, regardless of how many different modes of transportation they had, we looked at four different measures to define what that was. Fare revenue earned per operating expense, which seems like an obvious one, of course. Fare revenue earned per passenger trip. Fare revenue earned per vehicle hour and operating expense per passenger mile. So again, just trying to get at operational efficiency from a whole lot of different angles that would make sense across modes of transportation.
We have a question from Kathy who wants to know about construction on Vine near Taft, and are you building a new Metro stop there?
I do not believe we are.
Okay.
That's not attributed to a Metro.
All righty. One of the other things you're looking at is an uptown transit center. Can you explain what that would be, where it would be, what you're trying to do with that?
Absolutely. And it's interesting because at one point in time, we thought that we would do a transit center at that particular area, but we quickly realized that there are multiple destination points within that area. What we want to do ultimately long-term is build transit centers where we can actually run the routes more directly. And the planners, when I have this conversation with them as it relates to the Uptown Transit District, what I've told our planners is, I want ambiance. And they look at me like, okay, Terry, how do you define ambiance? And how I would define it is that it's a place. It's a place where when people are there, they know it's a different location. We have brick pavers. We have landscaping. We have real-time information. An ability to purchase passes. We'll have two ticket vending machines in that area. So it's just going to be a whole lot easier to use our service. It's going to be an improved passenger experience. We're looking at least four areas at this point in the Uptown area, and we know that's a huge economic development area for Cincinnati. We're looking at University on Jefferson as one location. The second one would be around the medical center, stops near the Children's Hospital, as well as the Clifton Heights Business District near Hughes Corner, and also on Vine between McMillan and Calhoun.
How large will these be? You talk about ambiance and all these sorts of things. Are we talking about a pretty big space? Is it the same size as you would expect for a bus stop, I don't know, a covered bus stop area? I mean, what are we talking about?
Well, we're looking at least two of the shelters combined. So you're going to have plenty of room to have shelter, to have a place to sit down. We're also going to have markers so people know exactly what location they're at. If they're at Calhoun, it'll be marked as well, and information in terms of route information. And so that first-time rider will know exactly where those buses are going to be going, what routes will be generated from that particular point. So we're trying to really make it a whole lot easier. We'll have lighting so that there's more of a secure sense of being there. So we're just really making it a really kind of a beautiful place to be.
How many people ride the bus?
We have 60,000 passenger trips on a daily basis, and that's about 17 million on an annualized basis.
And how do you anticipate that will change? Are you looking to just keep those people happy, or are you trying to gather more riders? I mean, do you have room on the buses for more riders?
Oh, absolutely. We always have room. And, you know, it's interesting that you asked that, because with the Metro Plus, which is what I call my head-turner bus because it's that blue, pretty bus that's branded differently, people will look at it and go, what was that? And we have found that by offering this premium service, it's surpassing our ridership expectations. In fact, it's already tripled in ridership. So I think we have to look at bringing this service in a more unique fashion to the community. And so attracting those new riders is really critical. Year-end last year, and this is a stat that I think Cincinnati should be especially proud of, we were actually up in terms of ridership, double the national average at 4.2%. So that was huge. So as we tweak the routes and we go and serve new destinations, for example, we're now serving the Mercy Hospital on the west side. As we look at different ways to take our routes that are not productive and reallocate those service miles somewhere else and new destination points and making it easier to use Metro really is going to attract the new rider.
Is that anything you found in the study, Julie, in terms of how, you know, with the efficiency, is it also looking at where the buses are going and how they're serving the greater part of the community, or is that not part of the study?
We didn't get down to the granular level in terms of the actual mapping of it. But what we do know in terms of service area provider, where Metro comes in middle of the pack when looking at everything, but top when only looking at bus service, when the comparison is with all of the other cities with multiple modes of transportation, Metro seems to be doing a lot better job of servicing the city as opposed to the service area. You know, the geographic limits of the city as opposed to the service area. But I think all the talk about BRT is really interesting because that's the latest and greatest in the world of mass transportation. So Metro's clearly got the pulse of that as they expand their Metro Plus.
Getting back to that, you talked about the not having dedicated lanes for that. Are there any plans for that in the future? Is that something you'd like to have with BRTs?
Ultimately, I'd like to explore that with the Transportation Department for the city. But I would like to kind of emphasize a note here that Julie made in terms of servicing our service area within Hamilton County and also Cincinnati. What we have found is that there is a distinct need and curiosity beyond those boundaries. And when we did the community outreach and ascertained what folks wanted, we heard a lot about bringing service out to the suburbs and taking people from the city into those employment sites that might be in the suburbs, and also having neighborhood circulators. So, for example, if you're in the aging demographic, and you want to do your grocery shopping and visit your doctor within a particular area, we may need to look at servicing those different demographics differently. If it's a smaller vehicle doing a circulator loop, if it's running a smaller bus for those suburban areas to get to that employment site. I mean, those are the strategies I think people are asking us to look at, and that's the long-term vision. I think we really need to help in that number as it relates to the service capacity. It's great that we're number one when we're looked at from a bus-only perspective, but expanding that to other service options, I think it's critical for us to kind of be creative and innovative.
How closely do you work with Tank in Northern Kentucky in terms of, you know, folks that live in Northern Kentucky and work maybe in the suburbs of Cincinnati?
Extremely closely. And I say that because what we have decided that is important to do is to come together and have two systems that are seamless. And we are looking at, we just introduced Metro Plus, and they're looking at introducing Dixie Plus. And the whole concept is when you hear Plus services, it's becoming a regional feel to what we're offering. Because for the first time with the Dixie Plus that will be introduced, you can actually go from the Florence Mall all the way up to Kenwood Mall. And so you have
on the same bus?
We'd have to transfer. Okay. You're going to transfer from Dixie to Metro Plus. Mm-hmm. But the thought is that we're looking at passes that could be used on both systems, smart technology, which is a tap technology, tap and go on the fare box. And so we're looking at ways that we can really coordinate the systems in a seamless fashion.
Thank you both for being here. We're out of time. I appreciate you both coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've been talking about the state of Metro. My guests today were Cincinnati Metro CEO and General Manager Terry Garcia-Cruz and Director of the Economic Center at the University of Cincinnati, Julie Heath. In a moment, we'll talk about protecting yourself from identity theft. This is Cincinnati Edition.